As you know, I come from the free software movement. And the free software movement is peculiar in multiple ways. I mean, for one, we are very used to working together through any barriers. I mean, we work together as a collective community all through the world, and we've done that for many years. It's the normal way of approach for us. Yet we have been living in a kind of isolated universe insofar as there has not been so much contact with other civil society groups. I mean, in particular in Europe. I mean, Federico will later be able to tell you a little bit about the Latin American situation, which is different a little bit, because free software is more integrated into the social movement there. In Europe, that's not so much the case. Although, for some reason, a lot of the people I know in the free software community consider themselves to be working for many of the issues that move the rest of civil society. Human rights, as Ricky mentioned, is one of them, where many people in free software I know, they consider themselves to be implementing, in a way, in this digital infrastructure, human rights. And they very much care about this because it's about freedom. And, you know, freedom is a fundamental value and essentially the fundamental value that drives free software in many ways. Yet the interactions with the Human Rights Caucus, for instance, only happened during the World Summit on Information Society. So insofar, I think the World Summit has done a lot of good because it has allowed us to get in touch with each other, you know, to start talking to each other and see the perspectives of the other. At the same time, when we came in there, for free software, it was a cultural shock. Because, you see, we came to the World Summit on the Information Society, and we expected to find many like-minded people there in civil society and had to discover that, you know, essentially everybody was using Windows, proprietary software, which to us, you know, was, to us, I mean, it's like coming to a summit on food security and seeing everybody wear like McDonald's t-shirts and everything is McDonald's sponsored. It's the same thing to us, or coming to a human rights, you know, summit and seeing everybody wear, you know, stuff produced by child labor. It's really a very similar cultural shock for us. So a lot of our time has in fact been going into communicating with the rest of civil society, because we wanted to make people aware of the issues that are around software and free software in the digital age, if you want, and also try to get people to use it, yes, but also to understand and advocate it themselves. Well, we succeeded halfway. I mean, by now, free software is really strong in the documents of civil society. It is very much preached, although not yet used. Most of civil society, unfortunately, still uses proprietary software, and we recently even had a discussion about, you know, using new tools to network civil society. And when people said, well, you know, if we want to use tools that civil society can use, we should make sure that these actually reflect also the values of civil society, since we can hardly, you know, advocate one thing and do another. But when people said that, they were actually, you know, being told to please shut up for not and not be religious about it, and we should use that cool proprietary software because it was so cool. So there's still work to do. From our perspective, really. But I think that we will do it. And I think that the process that has begun during the World Summit was really, really good. I mean, it was really a starting point in a lot of ways, because the way I see it is that the free software movement, the free software social activities, which have remained very abstract in a lot of ways, it's an abstract field, that they become more integrated into the daily life of civil society. I had the opportunity to watch this happen in Brazil, just like, in fact, last Monday, when I visited the Telecentros in Sao Paulo. And that is a very practical implementation on where you see how free software has actually allowed people to work for social change. It's like real people using them in real buildings, and they have real advantages from this very abstract thing that is, you know, software and free software. So that was very rewarding for me, and I hope that we will see more of these activities, especially also with other civil society, because that is a governmental activity. And so I think that will continue. We also participated very much in the dialogue on, you know, patents, copyrights, trademarks. You know, myself being co-coordinator of that working group, I obviously was very concerned about that. And I said that to Robin earlier. I mean, by now I sometimes think that we should file for the Church of IPR, and because then, you know, it's in a way it's turned so much into a religion for some people that more protection is always better. That you must restrict to the ultimate, that's always the best choice, that it's not even questioned anymore. And that religion, to a certain extent, actually, is also present in civil society. I agree very much with Jeanette that civil society is incredibly diverse and often just as diverse as governments are. And I had a very interesting discussion with the Indigenous Peoples Caucus, who were essentially asking to create a new kind of intellectual property right that would be more or less, I don't know how exactly they figured it would work, but more or less they were asking for a kind of genetic right to certain cultural things, and also, I mean, the background was to a large extent bioprivateering, and, you know, where indigenous peoples were robbed of their knowledge. But it actually extended to other things too. And I don't think that this is actually anything that would help them at all. And so I wrote a document on this in order to initiate a discussion, which has, interestingly enough, been translated into Portuguese and published in a new Brazilian newspaper in the first edition on social change. So it sort of started. There is a discussion now going on about the subject, trying to find ways, because that ideology has simply been taken and applied to that situation without ever thinking of what would happen if you do that. And what would actually happen if you succeeded to get what you ask for? I mean, what exactly would be the outcome of that? And nobody seems to really have, you know, discussed this before, and so that discussion has started now and has brought in people from the north, from the south, and all the different perspectives that there are on this issue. So I think the World Summit has done a lot of good to allow us starting to talk to each other, but we haven't really reached the point yet where we could say, yeah, we agree on all these issues, because they are still incredibly diverse. So I think the discussion is a good thing. I don't think we really got to sort of a stable final point yet, and I'm not sure whether that will ever happen, but I think it is good that we actually have a process now where we can exchange information, and I believe the contact that we made throughout the World Summit will remain. And so to me, that is the true success of the World Summit, because we actually have begun networking in a way that we have never before, at least not that I knew of. So that's, for me, the real success.